Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day, hopefully to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that actually deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that even heighten your sense and awareness of His presence in your life. And today is no different. Man, we've got a great program planned for you today. Here's a question to get the conversation started. If God is love, why doesn't everybody feel loved by Him? Why do some claim to experience Him in deep and profound ways, while others just say, I can't relate, I feel distant from Him, I know about Him, I don't really feel like I know Him? Is it possible you might be looking in the wrong direction? Well, you've no doubt heard about the bestseller, The Five Love Languages, but did you realize that your love language actually impacts how you relate to God and how He relates to you? Well, my guest today writes this. He said, each of us has a primary love language, and when we listen to God in our heart language, we will experience God's love in the most intimate way. So honored to be welcoming Dr. Gary Chapman to the program. We're talking about his book. This might be one of my favorites of this love language series, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. We've got Dr. Chapman for the first half hour, which means the second half hour we'll be taking your calls, and I'm counting on you. I want to hear from you. We've got five copies to give away. That's when we'll do it, is if you get on the air, you get a copy of Gary's book. Also want to tell you, if you've got a desire to take a college course, you maybe don't have the funds to go back to school, but you want to just increase your capacity, your learning capacity, the University of Northwestern is offering a Life of Christ course for free, starts March 11th, and the spots are filling up fast. You'll find more information on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Author, pastor, speaker, and counselor, Dr. Gary Chapman has a passion for helping people form lasting relationships. He's the best-selling author of The Five Love Languages. The book we're talking about today is God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. Dr. Chapman, so great to talk with you again today.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's great to be back with you.
Always good to talk with you as well, sir. And you know this, I've had you interviewed you plenty of times. We love to start out by talking scripture, wondering if you've got a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
I think I would say John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Hmm. You know, Susie, I learned that early in my life, right after college. I was working in a print shop and trying to run a folder, and they gave me instructions, and I worked all day long, and I couldn't get it to work. And that next morning, they gave me more instructions. This went on for 4 days. The fifth morning, I was reading in my quiet time, John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. And I said, oh, God, I can't even run a dumb folder without you. I said, please give me wisdom on how to run this folder. And I went in to work that morning, and everything just clicked. Never forgot that lesson. I'm glad I learned it young. Without God, we can do nothing. So every day, I'm asking God for wisdom, 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 wisdom. We can't trust our own wisdom, and we can't do anything without Him. But with Him, we can do everything He has in mind for us.
Such a good word, Dr. Chapman. You think about, to me, that's one of the best kept secrets in Scripture in the book of James. You know, if you need wisdom, God will not only not fault you for asking. He will lavish wisdom on you as you ask for it.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
In other places, it says, woe to you who are wise in your own eyes. It's almost like if you say, I got this, you're trying to promote a certain independence, you're actually on dangerous ground. What a great promise that He'll give us wisdom as we need it, you know?
Absolutely.
So good. Well, the story that inspired this book, God Speaks Your Love Language, is just fantastic. You were at a craft store with your wife, and you decided to occupy one of the rocking chairs on the front porch. Tell us that story.
Well, you know, this guy, as I remember it, and maybe you remember it better than I do, because I haven't read it in a while.
Yeah.
But he was
should I set it up for you?
Yeah.
Because it,
yeah, ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell the story.
I remember it as you tell it.
And you correct me if I get it wrong. But what I love about you is your utter humility in the way that you engage with others. But this other guy sits down next to you, and right away I don't know, one of you sparked up a conversation and he starts asking you about a family member. He said, I got a family member who goes to one of those holy roller churches. And I can picture this smile on your face going, well, tell me what kind of holy roller church you're talking about. And then he starts talking about how demonstrative the church is. Is this ringing a bell for you?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You want to take it from there?
And the reality is, you know, as we talked on and on, because he was trying to decide, how is it that my brother, who's a Christian, is all caught up, you know, he's physical, you know, he's raising his hands and all this. And I'm a Christian, but I don't do that. That's not me, you know. And I talk with him about the five love languages and the fact that when we become believers, we tend to express our love to God in our love language. And so that's why his brother's expressing it in a physical way, because physical touch is his language. And he had a very dramatic conversion experience. His body was touched. He was shaking and crying when he came to Christ. And so, you know, later on he told me, you know, this makes all the sense in the world. I understand it now, why some Christians have one kind of experience when they come to Christ and then consequently express their love to God in one way, and other people have different conversion experiences, and they express their love to God in another way, just the way God made us.
Yeah, and I so much about that story that I love. First of all, I love your humility in when you said, why don't you tell me what kind of holy roller church you're talking about, rather than coming to a snap judgment. But then you went out in your car because your wife was done with her shopping and you didn't have time to stay, so you gave him the book, The Love Languages. And what happened was he took it home, started to read it, and he did not realize how much his marriage was in deep need of it. Then he gave it to his brother, the holy roller guy, and he read it and realized his wife was very much disconnected from him. So these two marriages were really restored from that book. And then that guy got back to you and said, you should write a book about God speaking your love language. And you thought, I think I might do that. And that's just an amazing story. I really appreciate that so much. But let's talk a bit about that. Go ahead.
So many people through the years who would ask me this question, Susie, what is God's love language? And you know, when I started looking in the scriptures, it was pretty clear. God speaks all five love languages, and he speaks them fluently. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a primary. And that's another reason why we can express our love to God in different ways. God gets it, because he understands all five of the love languages. But, you know, the book ended up being in three different sections. One, I'm dealing with conversion experiences. That is how people come to Christ. And it's a whole lot of evidence that God does speak our love language. You know, you take Paul, or Saul, he was then, on the road to Damascus. He was going to put Christians in jail. He had a physical experience. The light came. His body fell to the ground. He was blinded. God got his attention. And my guess is his love language is physical touch. God knew how to get his attention. So, you know, I just looked through the Old Testament, New Testament, And you see God using all five of these languages to touch people's hearts and to draw them to himself. And I think that should help us when we're thinking about our own conversion experience, because I do hear people say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't have the same experience that, you know, my brother or my sister had. And that's okay. The important thing is, are you trusting in Jesus, you know? And the way you came to that decision may have been different, and it's because God was reaching you in one way and reaching them in another way.
And boy, does it help. I appreciate so much in the book for us not to judge each other or to consider our way the superior way, because we're all wired so differently. I mean, I'm total introvert, and quality time and acts of service are my love languages. And so to see that in the context of my relationship with God, I can spend hours in my prayer time, and it's just the most blessed, blissful time. And others will say that's like torture for them, as much as they love God. But when they are in acts of service, or when they're walking around, you know, they're gathering at the church, I love my church. I go to church. But where I really meet with God is in my solitude. But that gives us some room to have some grace for each other, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, George Mueller, he said if he didn't spend 2 or 3 hours in the morning with God alone, he felt like he was distant from God. And as you said, some of the rest of us would say, 3 hours? I mean, 10 minutes is about all I can do. I cannot read one verse in the Bible. That's about it. Well, but for quality time people, man, this is the way they express love to God, the way they receive God's love. And words of affirmation people. You know, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he said, Your words were found, and I ate them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It was the word of God that spoke to him. Martin Luther, you know, here he was, you know, he was studying hard, trying to be hard, trying to be a good Christian, trying to earn God. And then he read in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And he said, paradise broke in my soul when I realized it's not by works that God accepts us. It's faith in Jesus that accepts us. So words of affirmation is what got him. God spoke to him and opened his heart with those words. So, you know, you can go through church history, the Bible, contemporary experience, and see people having different kind of conversion experiences. It has implications for those of us who are trying to win people to Christ, that if we know their love language and we speak their love language, remember, we're God's hands, we're God's voice in our generation, and God can use us more effectively if we learn how to be extensions of his love to that person. So, you know, it has a lot of implications there. And then implications also in understanding why some people are so readily raise their hands when they worship and get on their knees when they pray. Those are physical touch people. And acts of service people volunteer to work in the soup kitchen, volunteer to go mow someone's grass. I mean, this to them is the way you serve God, you know, acts of service. So it's a fascinating study to see how we're drawn to Christ and then how we respond to Christ after we become believers.
This conversation is so important because, once again, it helps you understand, as you say, how you connect with the Lord, but then it helps you have some grace for how others do as well. We're going to pause here talking to Dr. Gary Chapman. Title of his book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. I absolutely love this book. For the second half of the show, we've got Dr. Chapman for another 15 minutes, but after that, we'll take calls. And what I want to know from you is, how does God speak to you? And tell me about a time that God really connected with you, that you just know it was him and your heart was changed. When we come back, I want you to tell us about a few more people from Scripture and how you identify their love language, like King David, for instance, and Peter. I would love to know. Talking to Dr. Gary Chapman, and we'll be back in a moment. Tuning into Middays, I'm Susie Larson talking to our friend Dr. Gary Chapman, who's written another great book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. And this answers so many questions for so many, because you may wonder, why don't I connect with God the way that person does? Well, if you look at the gifts, the love languages, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, and you understand what your love language is, it will better explain how and why you relate to God and even to others the way that you do. Let's take King David, for example, Dr. Chapman. What would you say his love language is?
I'm guessing words of affirmation, because look what he did. He wrote psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm, talking about praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. And this is what happens. If this is your love language, not only will you be drawn to Christ by the word of God, but you will pour out your life in words as well. Just again, like Martin Luther did, you know, when he was converted, what did he do? He wrote sermons, he wrote commentaries, he wrote hymns, he wrote the 95 Theses. I mean, so if you see how a person is spending their time responding to God, it's a pretty good clue as to what the love language of that person is.
So let's say words of affirmation is their love language, and they realize when they go a long time without receiving those, they feel dried up, relationally speaking. Would you suggest for them to really connect with God, if they feel lacking in that area, to spend some time reading Scripture that affirm God's heart for them, and maybe listening to songs like the one that came in the bumper about his love for us? Would that be a wise pathway to take for them to just better connect?
I think so, yes, because if words of affirmation is what make you feel, then read the Psalms, you know, read certain Psalms, because there's other Psalms that are not praising God and not expressing love. It's saying, poor old me, you know, that's part of life too. But yes, I think reading Scriptures out loud, you know, to God and to yourself, and then just starting thanking God. Look around the room and start thanking God for the bed, for the lights, the lampstand, for the light, for the, you know, just in one room, and thank God for things. And the more you thank God, the more you realize. You see, you're verbalizing what God has done for you, in just in material things. But it brings you a consciousness of who God is and what he's done to bless you.
I would imagine that would be the same case with gifts, if your love language is gifts. You know, it's interesting for me, I think I told you this last time I interviewed you, that I give lots of gifts away. It's almost like an inverse love language, because gifts aren't my love language, but mm-hmm. I just love giving people gifts. It's just something that I do. I don't quite get that. Why you know, I'm that one way but not another. Gifts don't really make a big deal on the receiving side.
Yeah.
But he gives good gifts to his kids, and I imagine if that's your love language, it's good to look around and all the ways that God has already been good.
Absolutely, and you will be one that gives gifts. But now, you're exactly right. We may speak one language more than the others, and it not be the one we want to receive. And I don't know exactly why that is. Sometimes I think it's because we were taught to speak that love language growing up, like maybe we saw our parents giving gifts, or you know, we were taught you give gifts to people that you love, and so we do that, but it's not what we really want. So about 25% of the people will speak one language more predominantly, but prefer a different love language. But 75% of the people, what they speak most often is also what they want to receive. And so I think in terms of gifts, you know, these are people that will not stop with a tithe. I mean, they may begin with tithing, but God blesses them. They want to give more. They want to give more. They want to give more. I remember talking to a man, and I was telling him what happened in our church, that I challenged our church to give $500,000 to missions. And I said, all that takes is 500 people who will just give $1,000. And I said, you'd lay $20 aside every week, and at the end of the year, you've got your $1,000. And I was telling him that story and how God had blessed our church in that way. He said, Gary, did I ever tell you my story? I said, I don't think so. He said, well, when we got married, my wife and I were both believers. And as singles, we tithed our income to God. He said, the first year of our marriage, we did that, and God blessed us. And I said to my wife, honey, this year, could we raise it to 11%? God's been good to us. And she said, sure, honey. He said, every year, you know, God blessed us, and we just raised it 1% every year. And I said to him, how long have you been married? He said, 49 years.
Oh, my goodness.
At that time, he was giving 59% of their money to God. You know,
wow.
This is giving people. I mean, if this is your love language, this is the most natural way for you to express love to God. Now, it doesn't mean, and I really want to make this clear, it doesn't mean that you only speak your own love language to God. We need to learn some of the other love languages, too. I found this, Susie. We're creatures of habit, and we tend to get in ruts. So let's say that acts of service is your love language, and you volunteer to work at the soup kitchen. And every Thursday night when you went down there and you dipped beans, you looked into the eyes of that person in front of you, and you saw Jesus. Because you remember what Jesus said, you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. It was so exciting for you. That was 10 years ago. You still go to the soup kitchen on Thursday night. But you're not really thinking about God. You're just dipping beans. Just dipping beans. You know, it's become routine for you. God never intended our love relationship to be routine. So I say, try some different dialects of your own language and try some of the other languages. It'll keep your relationship with God alive and awake.
Boy, that is so great, because we do bend towards what's comfortable and what we know. And you know, I always make these parallels between physical health and our spiritual health, because they're so there. But, you know, you do enough good stuff like exercise. You do the same thing all the time. At first, you get traction, but after a while, you stall out because your body's no longer challenged, and you have to up your game. You got to change things up. I just think we can become creatures of repetition, where when you do that, it seems like you take your heart out of it, because you can do it almost without thinking about it, you know?
Absolutely, and you're just going through the motions. And you can do that. A quality time person can do that with their time with God in the morning. You know, they do the same thing every morning, same length of time, same. And sometimes they walk away and they realize, oh, they don't know what they read. They don't remember what they said to God. You know, they went through the motions. And I say, okay, now you need to have a time with God. Maybe you ought to choose a different place, or a new translation of the Bible. Or maybe you ought to walk around the block and memorize a verse of Scripture one morning. You just do it a little differently and make it alive, because it will be alive if you don't just follow the same routine you do every time.
So how about you, Dr. Chapman? What are your love languages? And then how do you connect with him?
Well, mine is words of affirmation. And the scripture speaks so loudly, so clearly. I mean, this is where I hear God's voice most clearly. It's when I'm reading the scriptures. You know, I read every morning, and I'm saying to God, I'm listening. Whatever you want to say to me, I want to hear it. And I'll underline certain things in the chapter. Then I go back and read them again. And I say, God, I'm looking for the one thing that you really want to say to me today. And then, you know, it's always there. It's always there. And it may be that I need to confess a sin. It may be I need to thank God for something or ask him for something. But it's the word of God that speaks most clearly to me. So what have I done with my life? I give people words. I write words. I talk, you know, I speak. I don't sing. If I did sing, I'd sing, you know.
Fantastic.
Oh.
Wow. Well, someone texted in and said, Susie, do you give gifts in order to help or nourish them? Maybe you give gifts out of the ministry of helps. That's an interesting thought, because then I think of quality time and acts of service. You know, when I'm sitting in my time with the Lord and I ponder that he would give me access to his presence and give personal attention to me. And then when I ponder his divine intervention in my life, that's an act of service. When I pray about something and I see that he moved, I'm so completely undone by it that in response to that, I want to do the things that he cares about. And I think part of that is giving the gifts. It is interesting how that overflow will happen when you first connect with him in that way. I mean, speak if you would. We just got about a minute left here, a minute and a half. But to that person who longs to connect with God but just doesn't even know where to start.
Well, I would say if that person knows their love language, that's the place to begin to look in God's direction. You know, scriptures say clearly, you will find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. So if your heart is crying out to know God, God wants to know you more than you want to know him. And so I would say, if words of affirmation is your language, for example, just start reading the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. Maybe you've read it before. Read it again and just listen to what God is doing through Jesus. And if gifts is your love language, then focus on what God has given you, not just the material things, not just the relationships you have, but forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. Yeah, and the more you look in that direction, look in the direction of your natural love language, and you're likely to see very clearly that God does love you, and you'll sense it very deeply.
One last question for you, Dr. Chapman. What do you know about God now that you didn't know even a few years ago?
I think that he can be trusted even when he doesn't do what we ask him to do in our prayers. We can trust that the reason he did not do it is because he wanted what was best for us. You know, just as a parent, I don't always give my children when they were little, I didn't always give them what they asked for. I gave them what I knew was best for them. And God does the same for us.
Dr. Chapman, I know you've got a full schedule. The fact that you give us your time is precious to us. God bless you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Susie. Keep up the good work. God bless
you.
Thank you,
sir. And you as well. All right, friends, the phone lines are open. Don't leave me hanging here. 877-933-2484. How does God speak to you? When was the last time you really connected with God? Tell me about it. Give us a call. I'll be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.